Welcome, everyone. This is like the real way to start the podcast is what? To say, welcome, everybody. It's the Comics Claptrap.
It's been a long time.
No, stop saying that. You always say that.
Every time we do an episode now, it's like 4 weeks in between.
Well, we got a lot going on now.
Have we done this episode? Have we started doing the podcast since before Finn was born?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, before? Yeah.
That's been a long time.
It's been like what?
Finn is like 4 now, right?
He's 3. He's going to be 3.
3
next,
years.
Next week.
So it's got to be like 5 years that we've been doing this show.
What was the first one? Oh, it was with Vanessa Davis. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, seems like yesterday.
5 years.
Seems like yesterday. Really? 5 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. So what's going on? There's a lot going on right now. Comics.
Yeah, I just came back from Chicago last week from the first ever cake show.
I think it'll be fun to talk about the two shows that we went to.
Expo.
Because they're so different from what I hear. They just seem like such different shows. They're both comic shows.
Are they LA?
Well, sort of. But, I mean, they're both shows will have comics, but they're so different.
Okay.
And it's such a weird, I don't know, it's such a weird thing.
How long has that been going on, the what is it? It's the what's it called? LA. I like to say LA. LA, LA. What is it? American
Librarians Association. And they have a big conference every year. Mm-hmm. But it's only been 2 years that they've had this thing, this part called the Graphic Con, which is a the graphic novel, like a pavilion for graphic novels.
No, it's happening at the same time as like all these authors for like.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just in the same floor. It's just a section off. Like they have a bunch of sections. Like they'll have a cooking section.
Okay.
Right, and then they'll have like a graphic novel section, and we're next to like.
And where is it?
This one was in Anaheim, but they move all the time. So
okay.
This one is this last year was in
all over the country.
In New Orleans, and this one's in Anaheim, so next year is going to be in Chicago.
That's awesome.
I really encourage everybody to do it because.
Well, how do you do it?
Well, the tables are free. You just contact them. You can have a free Artist Alley table.
Oh.
And these Artist Alley tables aren't like Artist Alley tables. They're like small press tables. They're like huge. It's like a booth. It's really big.
Oh, okay.
There's not very many people that do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the tables are really big.
Okay.
And my God, you guys, it's the best show. Like, because librarians are the nicest people in the world. And they're so knowledgeable. And they're so eager that they'll totally buy your stuff. Uh-huh. It's like, it's crazy. And then it's a great show because.
So they buy books from you?
They buy books from you. Either from their budget or for themselves. We got a lot of librarians that love. Like ABC or Level Up, and they already have it for the library, and they wanted to buy it for themselves. I think they're really into signing, like you know, like when if you're in a comic show and you do a sketch, that's just normal.
Yeah.
But here you do a sketch, and it's like mind blowing to librarians. They're like,
you can't write anything in library books. They're probably like, oh my god, you can do it.
But it was great, and I love that. Like you know, it wasn't like. Everybody, even though if they buy your books or if they don't buy your book, there's like some type of potential there.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have, like even if they stop to look at your book and they say they don't buy it, there's a potential that they will order it for their library or they are a book, you know, because the only two people there are librarians and people in the book trade. Mm-hmm. So either they're there and you have an audience to maybe get your book published or promote it somehow. Or you get into libraries. So it's like everything is... it was such a good show.
So
it was so fun.
It would probably be mostly, like, graphic novels, not really comics. Or like...
Well, you know, mostly it's graphic novels, but there was a lot of comics. I mean, Image was there.
Oh.
You know? And they were just giving out pamphlets.
Huh.
You know? And there was a couple of people there. We sold zines. Yeah. We sold mini comics and people bought them. I mean, Lark sold some lollygags there.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, it was really great. I mean,
so did you bump into any celebrities, like celebrity chefs?
Well, I bumped into George R. R. Martin.
I heard about that. I had to look him up to know who that was.
He's my bro now.
Oh yeah.
Lane Smith, who was like my hero. Oh, I mean, I don't read a lot of books, so I don't know. I don't know a lot of these people, but I'm sure there are celebrities in there somewhere.
The people that besides those.
I bumped into Tom Kaczynski.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was famous
too.
Yeah. And let's see, Gabriel Bell was there, mm-hmm. Ron Ricci was there, mm-hmm. but that was it. And it was so weird to be in a show where
with cartoonists.
Well, it's like they're you know, if any other show, if you go to Ape or SPX or Set Cake, for example, mm-hmm. if those guys had a panel, mm-hmm. it'd be full. Like there would be tons of people there to watch them.
Oh yeah, okay.
They're like a pretty uh-huh. big deal in uh-huh. in our in, uh-huh. industry, but in the libraries industry. It's weird because they had a panel and no one was there.
Whose panel was it?
It was Tom Kaczynski, mm-hmm. Gabriel Bell, and Ron Ricci. And it's weird that.
What was it for?
It was just for comics.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I think Shannon O'Leary moderated and stuff like that, you know? Okay. And it's weird to have the tables kind of flip a little bit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whereas, like, I guess in the library, so it's just people that are, that I think it's more geared towards young adults, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you have a young adult comic, you're a big deal there for some
reason.
Right,
right.
And if you're.
So everybody on first second was a big deal.
Yeah, first second or Scholastic mm-hmm, or. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or. Or like, you know, just any like HarperCollins or something. All of a sudden there was a huge deal.
What is it?
Toon Books. Yeah, Abrams was big there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so cool. It was a really interesting show. It's funny.
I like to. Yeah, well, I can't attend that because you had to be a librarian, right? But
no, you could attend.
Oh, you can attend it.
Well, you can just have an artist alley table. It's free too.
No, but I can't just attend it.
You can't attend it, which is awesomer.
Yeah,
because it's not totally crowded, mm-hmm. and the people that are there are actually cool people. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But. So how was Cake, though? I mean, in contrast to that show, it must be a little different.
Well, there is very young, uh-huh. a lot of young artists, a lot of, like, promising talent. Mm-hmm. A lot of, I think, students, probably a lot of students coming from the Art Institute, because it's in an Art Institute, Chicago, building. But it was really fun. I mean, I got to see cartoonists I don't normally see in the West Coast, mm-hmm. who don't come to Ape or anything, like the USS Catastrophe guys. Mm-hmm. Kevin Huizenga and Dan Zetwag, Ted May, like when does he come out? And Sasha Mardu, and Tom Kaczynski was there, mm-hmm. Debuting Gabrielle's new book, July Diary, mm-hmm. and who else was there? Zach Sally, like a lot of the Midwest, and Laura Park, like all the awesome Chicago cartoonists that like. I'm totally in awe of, like, to meet. So, I was kind of so too much in awe of On Smith, Jeremy On Smith, that I actually didn't say hi to him.
Who was that?
You know, On Smith.
I don't know that guy.
Well, he was actually across the table from me with the guys who did, was it Black Eye? The anthology? Oh, anyway. And I actually didn't have the nerve to go up and talk to him. Annie Koyan was there, Austin English was there, Blaze Larmin was there, like, these people, I'm like, oh, wow, you're at this show? Like, I didn't know you came to this
Why
show.
Wouldn't they go to that show?
I don't know, it's just, like, you know, I haven't seen him in so long, and I'm like, wow, like, you just came to Chicago. Chicago's an awesome town, so I'll be happy
was it
to
hot?
Go back. Yeah, it was pretty hot.
But, well, next year...
I think I lost weight, and then I gained it all back when I came back.
But, next year would be awesome, because if both shows happened at the same time... Cake would be at Chicago mm-hmm. in the next.
Oh, in the Cake, library.
And then the library convention is in Chicago at the same time. Yeah. That would be pretty awesome.
That would be cool.
You can go to both shows.
Where would they have it? Like in a convention center? Because they have an awesome.
They had a huge convention center.
They have an awesome library there.
Oh, they have a library. Huge convention center. They go to the big convention center. Oh. I mean, it's a really big show.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but it's awesome that the artists, they're free. Mm-hmm. You know, so you don't have to pay anything.
Oh.
All you have to do is donate art to them for their auction. That
really?
Goes to benefit libraries.
Oh, so like wait, so it's not like curated or anything?
No. It's you just call them up and they go.
That's a good
And you
tip.
Go. It's totally fun.
So will you do it
and
again?
It's so I'm like gonna, for we're going to do it for like every year. Me,
that
Gene,
like
and
fun.
Shiga went and we just had a blast and it was just totally great.
Yeah.
Sales-wise, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was a really awesome show.
I have to say, Lark and I, we pretty much sold out of all our Lollygag.
Yeah, the debut of Gam Books. How was that?
It was the debut of Lollygag, this Lark Pien's edited sketchbook anthology and collaboration with Gam mm-hmm. Books. Mm-hmm. And, like, it did pretty well. Like, I mean, well, it sold out. I mean, we gave some copies to contributors, but, like, for the rest, it was all pretty much sold out. We gave
when are you guys going to have a official launch party of Yam Books?
Well, I have to tell you today. Well, actually, yesterday we sent the final. We approved the final proof, and it's off to the final printing. Uh-huh. So,
for what?
For ticket stub, for Tim Hensley's ticket stub. Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, because no one knows about it yet.
No, oh my God, people. We haven't even announced it yet. No, people were coming up to me and were like really excited about this collection. So,
how did people find out? I thought you were keeping it on a down low.
No, people. No, I announced it.
Okay.
About like a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, I'm not sure. So it's finally going into print, and hopefully, it'll debut at Ape, so that'll be like the party. If not,
Ape, huh? That's a long way ways, bro.
Well, you know that shipping and
slow boat from China.
Slow boat from China.
Oh, I thought it was gonna be at Comic Con or something.
No,
but I was all excited.
Tim's gonna be at Comic Con.
Are you going to Comic Con?
No, I was. Well, I was like gonna get like a pro badge, and I'm like, am I really gonna go?
Huh? I can get you one.
Oh, okay.
You should go. You have books.
That's next year.
You have books.
But I don't have a table. Like, hi. Here's a postcard. Here's my card.
So do you get table. The special, like when you go to Cake now, do you get to be in the special, like, the special, small publishers meeting now?
I guess
you not. And Tom K and the Tom Secret K Acre
and
guys.
Tom K and I were, I didn't meet Barry from Secret Acres.
Oh, really?
We shared a cap. All right. But anyway, that was a good show. I would recommend going, all you promising young talents out there, and also old wonderful talents as well.
Well, yeah, it sounds awesome. I saw pictures. Mm-hmm. I think everyone that didn't go was pretty jealous.
Yeah.
Like, on the internet, everyone just seemed was like, "I wish I was in Chicago." Did you get Italian beef hot dog?
I never got a hot dog, and that was my first
that's so
thing.
Weak.
No, that was my first thing I was gonna do. I'm gonna get a hot dog. It was so hot. I'm like, I have just no appetite for something. A hot dog with all this crap on top. Oh, you know, we should call Josh.
Oh, it's time?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Okay. So, do you have any new comics, Josh? Because I know Rena has tons that she wants to talk about.
I do not, actually. Do I?
No. Well, I have a few. The first one that I'd like to talk about is July Diary by Gabrielle Bell, which is from Uncivilized Books, which is Tom Kaye's publishing venture. And this is a... They're diary comics that she... made a vow to do one every day for the month of July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's quite good. I mean, if you've read other diary comics by Gabrielle, then you know what this is like already. And she also has a big collection coming out from Uncivilized, I think, of a bunch of different autobiographical stuff.
The Voyeurs, right? The Voyeurs.
Yeah, the Voyeurs.
Did they have a mock-up of that?
They had a...
Because I saw that at ALA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's 160 pages full color.
Ooh. Wow,
hardcover.
Man, I hope Tom K has some savings.
I love Tom K. Tom K is like a jerk.
How does he do it?
But it's refreshing that he's a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's very blunt and has like a really bad like sense of humor. Like the one with he likes doing those really bad puns to like hurt you.
Lark was telling I was talking to Lark, and she was like, "Tom K can totally kill you in a push-up contest." I was like, "What do you mean, Tom K can beat me in a push-up contest?"
He could probably beat you in a push-up contest.
And then he was like, "I guess Tom K was like, I'd like to go, you know, go on push-up contest with 10." And I was like, "How much can he do a push? How many push-ups can he do?" And she was like, 50. I was like, 50? Well, that's I can do 50 in my sleep.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, I can do 50 in like a minute.
Consecutive.
Yeah, I can do 50 on my fist, Tom K. If you're listening, Tom K,
I'm gonna with one call arm. That. I don't believe that.
Why
I'm calling.
Do it in LA?
I can do 50 with Finn sitting on my back.
You didn't try it at LA?
No, I saw him for a little bit. He didn't say anything. I think he only said to Lark. I think he's afraid.
Yeah, he's afraid. No, I don't think he is.
He's ducking you now.
Yeah.
But I saw that at Cake. It's a really beautiful cover, beautifully designed book, and I'm always like up for anything Gabrielle does.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Gabrielle's always pretty consistently awesome. Mm-hmm. Is there anything more awesome or less awesome about this one, Josh? Or
I mean, the July Diary, it has a really, the book is really well designed, as everything is from Uncivilized. And if you've seen, like, the San Diego Diary book that she did with them, it's a pretty similar format. It has some, like, outtakes and, like, little sketches that she's done. I don't know.
This one
I wouldn't say
spine.
It's a radical departure, but it's, you know, quite good.
You know, when the Uncivilized produces their books, do they hand make the books, or are they sending it to press and stuff?
This is square bound.
Yeah, this one's square bound, and I think they're using. I don't know with that book, but with at least the Voyeur, they're using the same printer I'm using. But
oh wow, so it's going to be printed.
Well, it's that the big like book is a real bound book, but wow. I think they go to a printer, but he like collates and cuts and trims.
Man, how do you guys all find money for this biz? It's a lot of money. All right.
Credit. Debt.
Oh, okay, Tom K. Good luck, sir.
Anyway, you can get those at uncivilizedbooks.com. The Voyeurs is available for pre-order there.
Oh. When's that coming out?
Let's see. It says in the back of this one.
Slow boat from China.
Slow boat from China was...
Yeah, soon. Soon is when it's coming out.
It's the boat.
Soon? Is it soon? Coming soon?
It's the boat before my books.
Yeah. They're racing.
Mine's like in the Indian Ocean.
Okay, what else, Josh?
So I have an issue of Phase 7 by Alec Longstreth. And this actually might not be that new. I think it's from last year, but you know mini comics. They kind of, you get them when you see them.
Right.
This is issue 16, though. And it's a collection of stuff from his sketchbook. Which he seems to draw. I mean, I know he draws every day, and he does comics for the most part in his sketchbook. And there are a lot of autobiographical incidents, and they vary. Like, some of them are really fast and loose, and some of them are a little tighter. But I thought this was actually a really good collection. It kind of chronicles the time when he was living in New York, and he was going through lots of personal turmoil, and it was, you know, it was a pretty good book, I thought.
Well, he's not living in New York anymore.
No, he's living here now. He's living in Oakland.
Yeah, Alec, why don't you call us up?
I saw him the other day.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. Driving.
He doesn't have his beard anymore, so you know that's not him.
Okay, then I guess it's not him.
I've seen that guy, too.
Greg was saying, yeah, he's in your neighborhood, but, you know, he doesn't have a beard anymore, so he might have passed him by, he might not have recognized you, he might not have recognized you, because I have long hair now, so.
If he doesn't have a beard, then he probably is going to look like everybody else that hangs out on Piedmont Avenue, so I would not know what he is, right? He's got a little sweatshirt on, probably.
Asian, or?
Some jeans. Right. Yeah, that guy. The guy at Gaylord's.
I like his sketchbook stuff. I like, there was a mini he did a long time ago that was a bunch of sketchbook stuff that, you know, wasn't as like precise and perfect, like, you know, as his like
normal work. Josh actually posted on Facebook.
And it was
You posted on Facebook, and so I was curious because, you know, I'm always making fun of Alex Longstreth. And so I was like, oh man, I should take a look. If I'm always making fun of him, I should check out what he actually does. And then and I looked at it, and I read his explanation of why this one is a sketchbook as opposed to the continuing story that he has a continuing story that he keeps doing. It's been 5 years.
I think he finished it. That's why his beard is off.
He finished it, but still didn't publish it. So this one is a placeholder for Basewood. Okay. So it's like number 2, number 5, number 8.
He likes the .0.
So it's like just like all of it together. It's like 5 issues. Okay. I don't know what takes so long. I mean, 5 years to do 5 comics? Jesus.
That's a pretty long time.
I know, but it's not even like, it's like a mini. And that guy's always working. He won't even shave off his beard.
Well, he's also teaching, right?
So. I don't know what he does. But I thought the sketchbook was pretty good, except for that.
There you go.
He seems like he has a job, many jobs. In this sketchbook, he chronicles at least like 3 or 4 jobs that he had in this short period of time that he was in New York.
That's probably why he doesn't have time for comics, right?
Yeah, he's always like, he'll be working at some place, and in the sketchbook, he'll be working at some place, and then he'll be like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom. Oh, it gives me some time to draw some comics. And you're like, are you really working that hard? Because if you're working that hard, then the Basewood should be out by now. Right? Seems like you're working pretty hard.
Base with him to his.
Okay.
Right. I think it's a precious baby on his drawing table.
It cracks me up. He seems like the guy that's like, I need to draw comics. This is in my blood.
You so don't funny. Really need to draw Never. Comics.
Those are the people that end up, I don't know, ends up not good for them.
I just feel like comics is sort of an addiction, though. Like, I mean, it doesn't pay anything, but, like, I mean, there's this need for, like, all three of us to still keep doing this art.
Yeah, Jason, Gene, and I were talking about all the lives that have been broken because of their love for drawing comics.
Okay.
There's a lot of them out there.
Who?
I don't want to name any names, but there's a lot of people whose lives have been pretty broken
by wanting to draw comics.
I don't know why, because it's not like that many rewards out of it. At least drugs get high.
I think those points are related.
Okay.
There's a thank you section at the end of this issue of Phase 7, and Rina Yu-Yang is thanked, actually.
Oh! I did not know that.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that, Josh told me.
Why? Rina Yu-Yang, who first published some of these sketchbook pages in 2006 in her webzine, Creative Skin.
Webzine? You had a webzine?
Yeah, a long time ago I had a web, before anyone was blind. I'm just kidding. I had like a web... Yeah, I had a website that showcased, like, art and music and, like, writing for, like, I don't know how many years. Maybe 3 years or something.
Was it awesome?
Well, yeah.
What was it called?
It was called Creative Skin. Obviously, the name wasn't awesome. But
and you did it with your sister.
People who were showcased were awesome. Let's see who was showcased. Josh was showcased. This is, like, right before I even met Josh. Like,
that's hilarious.
And you did it with your sister, right?
Yeah, Alec Longstreth, Jonathan Hill, who else? Dave Kirsch, Warren Craighead, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, I'm really... Thanks, Alec Longstreth, for remembering that.
Is that website still up? I want to look
at
it.
No, it's not.
Oh, that must be so funny.
We should change this name of this show to Creative Skin.
Creative Clap Drop Skin.
That's so funny.
Why is that funny?
I don't know. It's like unearthing somebody's old zine from high school or something like that.
I was never embarrassed by this.
Really? You're not embarrassed by it? You should upload it again.
If I remember where the files are.
It must be awesome.
It was a lot of work, basically. Yeah.
It's all amusing to Tin.
Yeah, everything's amusing. Except librarians. Librarians are...
Librarians are great. They're the best thing in the world.
Josh, do you have another comic before we have to go and...
What'd you say? You're cutting out.
Guest. Huh?
What did you say?
Oh, do you have one last comic before we have to go in a couple minutes to talk to our special guest?
This can be quick, but I got a book called The Shark King by R. Kikuo Johnson.
Oh.
Who?
That guy's still drawing, huh?
Yeah, I didn't
Yeah, know. Well, that's what I think. I don't know. Like, I guess I lost track of him, too, because when I mentioned this book to people, they were sort of wondering what had happened to him. He did a book with Fantagraphics a while ago, and he was in
Moon. The Night Fisher. But I know he does illustration work, which is like
I think he does lots of work, but maybe he just doesn't have time for comics, or I don't know. But anyway, this is a kid's book, and not right now.
Hi, Link.
I'm getting asked about SpongeBob. Link likes the SpongeBob comics quite a bit. So this book is in the Toon Book line that Francoise Mouly started, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's a full-color kids comic about a legend from Hawaii about a boy who can turn into a shark. And it's
I saw
really
that
good.
At the ALA.
That's cool.
That's cool. It was cool looking.
Yeah, it's really good. It looks fantastic. I mean, and I think he told the story really well. So I don't know. I think people might not see this like at the comic shop, but it's worth looking for, especially if you know you have a kid that you want to get comics for.
Ooh, that's a good tip.
That's cool.
I think I'll look that up.
The Shark King.
The Shark King, by R. Kuko Johnson.
You know who I was wondering the other day? What happened to him? Is what happened to Jonathan Bennett? Everyone was like, Jonathan Bennett, and now he's totally gone.
Like, he does, like, book design, doesn't he?
Is that what's going to happen? That happens a lot to
he's
cartoonists that you're just
too.
Like, you're like, they're the best. I don't know where they are now. I don't care. Now it's Mike DeForge, and then I wonder if he's going to go, too.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Okay, you think he's going to stay? He's not going to disappear, like,
unless he's sick of comics.
Jonathan Bennett was amazing for a long time.
Jonathan Bennett's probably like, I'm sick of comics, and he left. So maybe it's just not so he's losing any. Okay. He's just like.
I mean, it's tough to stay in comics.
It's a terrible drug.
Yeah, it's a terrible drug.
Why are we promoting this?
Hey, did you get to see any books at Kick that you got that you liked?
Well, I did see the one by Gabrielle that Josh had mentioned. The book that debuted at the show is by our special guest tonight, Dan Zetwalk's Bird's Eye Bristow. Debuted at Cake, and that is a beautiful book.
Did you buy it?
I didn't get to buy it.
What?
Because I was afraid that I didn't have room in my luggage.
That's so weak, bro.
Because I went over the I was
stressed. You went to his table and you told him that you were going to go to the ATM and get some
cash.
No.
I didn't tell him
credit card. Oh no. Okay, I gotta go to the ATM.
Well, I was assuming he's coming to Ape, so I could just get it at Ape.
You didn't think we gotta interview him, so maybe I should read this book before we interview him.
We never read people's books before.
Well, it's not out, technically. I mean, so there's that. It's not actually in stores yet, right?
I also mentioned that Kevin Huizenga, well, actually, Sasha Mardew made these Glenn Ganges dolls that were amazing for that Cake show.
Is that your story? Is that the end of your story?
That's the only story. They were amazing. I was like, wow. Glenn Ganges dolls. So anybody wants a Glenn Ganges doll, I mean, I think there's only 5 of them. You should go get one. Not going to be a giant robot. You got to get them from Kevin.
This story keeps going on.
Hey, but Rena.
Some have baseball t-shirts with his boxer shorts. Some have pants.
It's featured on the Creative Skins store.
Yeah. Yes, Josh.
Or what was that other one? What was the last webzine you started that disappeared right away?
What
was that called?
Creative Skin.
What?
Where'd he go?
Josh left. Are you back, Josh? Where are you?
Yeah, hello.
What happened? Did you faint because it was Creative Skin?
No, I don't know. It must be an internet.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Ho Ho Snappers.
Yeah.
That's still there. It's just that
you have a lot of ideas.
It's actually no. It was Lark Me and Renee, and I think it was just a way for us to like a place for all of us to just like sell our like prints and like you know handmade stuff.
Uh huh.
And we were trying to like post something like every day, but it never happened because
you started Yam Books instead.
Yeah.
And you replaced it with another thing.
Yeah. In which I will replace with something else.
Here's the question is, when is Yam Book going to be published?
ADD is a terrible drug. What?
When is Yam Books going to be printing something from Rena Allen?
I'm never going to print my own books.
Really?
Yeah. It's going to be under the Namby Pamby imprint. I just realized what...
Who's making Namby Pamby dolls?
I'm supposed to say...
That's the question.
Yeah, you could make yourself the editor of that imprint.
Yeah, now I can use the word imprint now. Because mm-hmm. you're near a publisher and you say imprint.
Mm-hmm. You can I have an it. Imprint?
Yeah. All right, thank you, Josh, for humiliating and also...
We have pretty much crushed Arena's spirit.
Yeah.
She is going to go where Jonathan Bennett goes.
Be proud.
Terrible drug.
How many push-ups can you do, Rena?
Atlas shrugged. What?
What did she say, Josh?
I told you to be proud, and then I asked how many push-ups you can do.
I can't do it. I can only probably do 12.
Oh. Yeah. I can probably do 210.
No.
Push-ups?
Yeah.
I'm putting Tin's push-up, my over-under for Tin's push-ups at 15.
Josh, I'm the LeBron of push-ups. Are you telling me
so
that
you're pretty streaky, huh?
I do not buy that.
I'm asking you this, Josh. You have to answer right now. If you're starting a push-up team, who would you start up with? Tom Kaczynski or Tin Pham?
I would snap take Tom. I don't need to think about it.
I would take Tom because I wouldn't I wouldn't find you committed to even showing up.
Are you going to San Diego, Tan?
Of course.
Okay, we're gonna see. I want to see the push-ups down there.
All right, I want to. You bring a small child or a bear and to sit on my back, and I will do 50 for you.
Because I guess I'm not gonna ever see you here since we live here.
I'm not gonna go to your house.
I'll see you once a year at San Diego, and then you can show off your muscles.
And you're gonna wake up at 7 in the morning, and there I'll be in the kitchen, your kitchen, doing push-ups.
Yeah, I'm gonna be sitting on.
You'll be in there at night, and I'll go to bed, and I'll wake up in the morning, and you'll still be doing them.
Two, three.
I won the MVP this year for push-ups. All right, Josh. All right, enough nonsense, my friend.
Thank you, buddy.
Yes, yes. Good night.
Welcome back, Josh.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hey.
Hey, Dan.
It is the Comics Claptrap.
Who is this again?
It's the Comics Claptrap.
I know. Hey, guys.
Hey, it's been so long, Dan. I'm welling up because I miss you so much.
I know, Tan. I was sad you weren't in Chicago.
No, I was. You know what? I wasn't. I was not that excited to go to Chicago. But then, after my manhood was challenged with this push-up contest, I wish I was in Chicago so I can show people how much many more push-ups I could do.
Than Tom K. Well, Zach Sally's good at them, too.
What? Zach Sally is not good at them. He lost to Tom K pretty badly.
He seemed way too into it. The next day, he was all in Tom's face and was trying to get another one going.
You know, did you hear what they were all like? Tom K can do so many push-ups. Did you hear how many push-ups he did?
I think it was an even 50, wasn't it?
50! Anyone can do 50 push-ups.
I can't do 50.
What?
Dan, I don't think I've done a push-up since high school, so I would have no idea how many.
I bet you, Dan, you can do 110 push-ups with a small animal on your back.
Well, we're recording this podcast. I'm just going to be doing push-ups the whole time.
Yeah, unfazed.
Yeah, so if you hear any grunting or, you know, sweat dripping in the radio, that's me.
Dan, in honor of you, I'm bringing back eating on the air.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Are you eating something, Dan?
No, we had an early dinner. I'm drinking. Made myself a giant iced coffee. Which is what.
Yeah, you're gonna need that.
Dan, I actually was
especially for the what do you do
last
all
week?
Day
I was
question.
At the ALA, and I actually dropped your name to a couple of St. Louis librarians.
Mm-hmm. Was Katie LaBarbera there?
Kevin Huizenga's wife was there.
Oh, really? Was she there? She didn't come by and say hi.
Oh. Never. She wasn't there. Never mind.
Oh, is she the one? She's the one. So this guy says that he works at the St. Louis Library, and there's a couple people, there's two girls that work there, he said, who's married to famous cartoonists. He didn't know who or what they did. He said there's two girls that works at the library that was married to famous cartoonists. Mm-hmm. So I would think that she's got to be one of them, right? Who's the other one?
It's depending on your definition of famous cartoonist.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, St. Louis famous.
Ted May's wife used to work at the library. Sasha. She doesn't anymore, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. Yeah, Katie and I'm not sure who else they would be talking about.
That was a fun show. I think you guys should go next year. Mm-hmm. It's in Chicago next year.
Well, anyway, we usually try to introduce our guests. Yeah, because... Okay. Dan doesn't need an introduction, but it's Dan Zetwalk, everyone. And Dan just debuted his book. We're actually thankful for Drawn in Quarterly for publishing Dan's book. Because if he didn't have a book, he would never, ever interview with us.
Yeah, well, he actually co-hosted the show before. And
oh, yeah.
We were like...
And we also have to thank Finn for banning Tin for, like, how many shows?
Four shows.
So that Dan could be my special co-host, guest co-host, interviewing Carol Tyler, which was an awesome experience for me.
That was so bittersweet for me because, of course, I'm a huge Carol Tyler fan, but yeah. I'm also a huge Tin fan, so I was sad he wasn't with us.
I don't know why you were such a fan. I don't know why you never did our show.
He had mixed feelings, but we talked about, you know, Midwestern stuff. Like, you know, we talked about baseball. We talked about, you know, them living in the Midwest and mm-hmm. all that.
Speaking of which, there's a Cardinals game wrapping up right now that I've got on mute, so I'll try to pay attention to you guys, but if you don't hear from me for a minute or two, there might be something exciting going on in a baseball game.
Wow. There's like 162 games. You can't miss one?
Hey, every game is important as the next 10.
Who are they playing?
The Miami Marlins in that crazy stadium. Have you seen that crazy stadium?
Is that the Sun? No, that's Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's Sun-Kissed, right?
The Marlins have this crazy new stadium in Miami that's got like an aquarium in the outfield and like giant dolphins leaping.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money on it. And then that one guy was like, I love Fidel Castro.
Oh, the coach?
He actually just got the thrown manager out of this game that I'm watching right now in like a really hilarious way. There was one of these deals where like they were umping the they were miking the umpire so they could get the sound to the game.
Uh-huh.
And Ozzie Guillen comes up and you hear just like the most profane tirade, every bad word in the book, and the commentators had to quickly cut away to commercial. And then they came back and we'd like to apologize to all the families and the televised audience for that.
That happened during the Heat game when LeBron James was hurt and they had the camera right in his face and he kept screaming shit, 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 shit. And they were like, ah.
I love it.
I love it when that happens.
Yeah.
Didn't the St. Louis win the championship last year? Was it last year?
They did.
Yeah. I remember watching that game thinking, oh my God, Dan must be so excited.
Isn't that getting
right
a little
now.
Old? Yeah, isn't that getting a little old for you guys?
Yeah. See? I did feel a little bad.
When you were
not real so bad at all.
Dan, when you were in the Bay Area, you were still a St. Louis fan. They weren't good though, right?
We were fine. We made it to the we actually made it to the championship series one year and lost to the Giants.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh.
I think that if I was around whenever you were in the Bay Area, because I wasn't in doing comics when you were here, I think I would probably be more interested in screen printing and doing handmade comics.
That was the best when Dan was here. It was so fun.
Yeah.
It was the funnest. You know, The one thing that I have to say about Dan is that, and I have said this many times on my Facebook account, so this, I'm not lying, but...
Facebook, yeah. Dan that's everywhere.
Dan does I like to do almost everything that Dan likes to do, like silk screening and putting together books and all that. Yeah. But Dan does everything better than me, just a little bit. And you just can't catch up. Like, you always, like, I always think, oh my God, I'm close to Dan. And then all of a sudden he does something, you're like... That's 12 colors.
And then he makes it look so perfect. Like, he had that how-to screen printing thing on his blog or his website one time. Like, oh, I could totally do that. And like, no, you can't. It's not that easy as he's showing it.
It's totally easy.
It's like, go get a beer. Wait for this emulation or whatever to dry.
Emulation.
And then go and wash this down in your tub. It's like, that stuff isn't dirty at all. You don't wash your tub down. I mean, like...
I did not get the cleaning deposit back on that apartment.
So do we actually have any questions for Dan, or are we just going to chat about the olden days?
Well, I kind of want to talk about, like, you know, what your beginnings were as a cartoonist, because it just seems like you have a lot of influences in the content, what you write about, and how you, like... I mean, how your visual style is, you know, with all the cutaways and, like, you know, like, all the detail. So I kind of wanted to know what your beginnings were. What comics were you first interested in? And also, like, why get into mini comics and all that stuff?
That's a good question. No, really, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I guess...
Are you watching the game, Dan?
Come on, stop.
I always loved baseball comics. I was really into... I was a big Mad Magazine and Cracked Magazine kid.
Uh-huh.
I was really not very into superheroes at all.
Oh.
I kind of, like, tried to get into superheroes when I was in high school, I think, when, like, there was a period when the sort of cool kids were actually reading X-Men or whatever. And I just couldn't, like, find an end or something. Like, the stories were already, like, way too, I didn't feel like I knew enough what was going on. So I was more drawn to, like, I would get these, like, goofy humor comics.
Mm-hmm.
And, Nomad especially was huge. Because, I don't know, it was funny and it was sort of weird. And it had kind of, like, a vaguely sort of anti-authority counterculture vibe that I was into. Uh-huh. I think that was like my sort of pre-punk self or something from elementary school. You know, they were still making like Spiro Agnew jokes or whatever in the '80s, and I have no idea what that means, but like seems smart and adult or something, so that's funny. But then on this next page, there's like a Don Martin gag with this like hilarious barf.
I loved Mad Magazine. Dated, yeah. I don't remember any of the, you know, the actual, like, I never paid attention to the actual artist because I just loved certain type things. But I do remember one thing I hated about Mad Magazine. I never read it, never wanted to read it, was the, like, spoofs on movies.
What?
I never read any of those. Oh, like, I love, yeah. I love Lighter Side Of.
Oh, whatever yeah. that of course is. You
I
would.
Love
Dave
Lighter Side
Of.
I don't know who that is, but
you love
it's
that
amazing.
Corny crap.
I love, like, Spy versus Spy.
Oh,
you know, yeah. And I love like all the Sergio Aragonés,
Aragonés,
yeah. and stuff. And I love
Al
the Fold
Jaffe.
In. Of course,
yeah,
the Fold In is amazing. Al yeah. Jaffe is amazing. I hated
yeah.
the movie spoofs.
And I agree. I agree with you totally, Tim.
What
the movie parodies? They were like my least favorite part. I would read the first like big splash page where the characters would introduce themselves with like their goofy names.
Yeah, 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 yeah. yeah.
But and I thought that was funny. It's like, oh, like, you know, they like really made fun of these characters' names. But then it was always weird to me that they like they went on with this entire like this 8-page. I don't know. This was really boring.
Yeah, it was like really long, and they always drew
because it required a lot of
and
reading.
Arnold
right?
Schwarzenegger was always in it for some reason.
Yeah,
big chin and everything. So
it was kind of it was dumb too because they always did that. That they like would give all these characters these dumb names, and then they would like. Have to stick with these dumb names. Someone else I recently was making a joke about that. So, you know, every time Arnold Schwarzenegger would be on there, you'd have to, like, remember that they gave him the stupid pun name that they call him every panel.
I don't agree with you guys.
but Sergio Aragonés, and that led me into, you know, I got really into Gru. I got really into when I first kind of started discovering, I guess what you would call alternative comics, I got really into the first version of The Tick. You know, those old 80s, black, mm-hmm. like 90s black and white Ticks. I was super into those. So that kind of stuff.
And when did you actually start drawing your own? When you were a kid, did you start drawing those already? Or were you like...
I did the typical thing when I was a kid where I tried to draw... I was never good at drawing like super muscular dudes.
Uh-huh.
It's probably why I didn't really like superhero comics. Because if that was your thing, then you like just had to get awesome at drawing muscular dudes.
Yeah.
And I remember like really trying hard. Like I remember like tracing these like guys' muscles, and like to this day, I really don't really have a good grasp on, you know, like what muscles go where and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you can tell by the times I have to draw a muscular dude in my comics. But for that reason, I don't know. I was more drawn to like the rubbery armed, like goofy, cartoony Don uh-huh. Martin style.
But were you more into, like, even, I guess, not so much comics, but, like, you know, illustrations and figures and, like, magazines or textbooks? Like, because a lot of the stuff that you draw is, like, you know, diagrams of things and how things are put together. And
yeah. That stuff all came a little later, I think. I was always into, like, maps. And I was always into, like, super complicated and dense drawings. Some of my favorite Mad Magazine. As good as the artist was, but there would be these like crazy crowd scenes.
Yeah, those were the best.
A spread of crazy crowd scenes that had like 1,000 gags in it, and you really had to like, you almost needed like a magnifying glass to like follow this little pathway around this like crowded concert or whatever and read every little word balloon. And I loved those. So
yeah.
Something about that, like, you know, that kind of like intense sort of map like reading, I was really into.
Yeah, I was really into that was how the Matt Foden's were. I really loved it as an illustration. The Foden gimmick, for me, even as a kid, I was like, yeah, that's cool. That's fine. It turned into a skull or whatever, you know? But
yeah,
I really love that, just that illustration of so many things happening, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I loved about your comic is that, like, in everything, there's just so many things. You know, you get the full story, but you can also look back at it and just check out such crazy things. Well, I know that you used to or still do work for this company called X-Plane, right?
Yes.
And that's where you met like Ted and Kevin and stuff. And
yeah.
In that company, you actually make all these diagrams. Did that come first, or was it that your love of these like diagram comics that you worked for X-Plane, or did you work for X-Plane and then say, oh, well, I want to do these type of comics?
I think that was still sort of a mutual thing. I was interested in, I'd worked at that company really ever since my freshman year in college. So
wow.
Even before I was like seriously drawing my own comics. So it was kind of a back and forth where I was doing these like newspaper style infographics. That would be like, how, you know, this new bridge is being built. So here's these, you know, like an overview isometric drawing of a bridge with all these like call outs of how it's being built and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So that was coming. And of course that, you know, I don't think you can really like talk about diagram-ish type stuff in comics without mentioning Chris Ware, who I was also like mm-hmm. super getting into at the time. Mm-hmm. So I guess all that stuff just kind of came together for me, the work stuff and my comics and the stuff I liked reading. And there you go.
And also the fun stuff is like a lot of your subjects or issues you deal with in your stories are like an homage to like, you know, where you come from and like your hometown, and you're kind of a nostalgic look at like,
yeah, I come from a long line of sort of tinkerers and mm-hmm. kind of guys that build homemade things in the garage. So I've always been interested in how things work and how things are put together. That part of the Zetwalk gene, I don't really have the actual being able to build the stuff and engineer the stuff and make stuff work. But so I kind of make up for that by just drawing it, I guess.
Have you ever drawn up things and then like, you know, your dad or your, you know, whoever is the builder in your family, like puts it together?
I feel like I have. I feel like I designed a whirligig one time that my grandpa built.
I love that you know what a whirligig
is.
Did
you design the suitcase in your backyard? You know, your fort, the fortress?
No, that was all my dad. For anyone who doesn't know, my dad always built, he actually built three different forts in our backyard. These were totally freestanding, non-tree based.
Wow. Well, I hear of your dad and your mom. They were awesome parents, and they were like really creative people. Did they all really? Did they always like really support your art and your like, you know, your desire to do comics and stuff?
Oh yeah, big time. I think even more like even at points when I would start to have doubts, like when I was graduating high school and whether or not, you know, I was kind of choosing where to go to college and was I going to go to art school, and I was always much more, I think, conservative and like worried about that. And I was like, but will I be able to get a job if I go to art school? And I think my parents were like, no, you got to go to art school. And I was like, all right.
Wow.
And I did end up going to a school that was sort of a combo university and art school. So it was sort of
I think what's really cool is that your parents and your family came to that reading in Chicago of your book. I thought that was really, really cool that they made the drive with you.
I think they were the only ones laughing at my jokes, so it was good.
I have bastardly parents, so it warms my heart when I hear about supportive parents like that. Now, like Dan, I've always wondered about your comics and your job, you know. In your job, you do diagrams, but they have to be totally precise, right? Or else, like, you failed in what you do. But in your comics, you do diagrams too, but they are precise, but not really, you know, they're like, like gooey, you know? So does that always like, sometimes when you're doing diagrams, does that get in the way? Like, you know, you're,
are you rebelling against being perfect in your
comics? Does that get in the way of your two careers, or are they just fine? You don't even think about it.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
I don't know what you're talking about. Every single diagram I've ever done is ironclad. I don't know. Stone cold, precise. You could take any one of my comics straight to the factory.
Straight to the 3D printer and open it out.
We're going to make like an old ironclad ship from your ironclad mini comic days. I remember the first mini comic I read of yours was that split scene with, I forget it.
That was a dude I worked with at when X-Plane, that company you're talking about. We shared an office with a magazine called Business 2.0. This is like a .com magazine.
Oh, I remember that. Uh-huh.
This was a guy who just like worked in a cubicle like on the other side from mine and was into comics. Yeah, so we did that split. I totally forgot about that split scene. That was an early one. That's a real collector's item, Rena.
You have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, and I was wondering, because you were like so, you know, into, you were like one of the major players during the mini comic scene around, like, you know, with like silk screening and all these, and like these awesome like handmade stuff. And we just talked to Salazar last time about mini comics, and we asked him like if he thought,
he was on the Cut Trap.
Yeah, he was on like, yeah. God damn. You're so busy with your book.
You should listen to that
and
one.
And your schematics.
I've listened to every single one.
No, that one was really inspiring. I think we got away from that, and we're just like, we love art.
I think we just were gushing like really hard.
Oh, I love Southern. I'll have to dig that one up.
Yeah, so we were talking about mini comics, and I don't know. Do you feel like mini comics have changed? It seems like not. I mean, people still do mini comics, but they're more professionally printed, and they're more like portfolios for, like, you know, as a stepping stone to like a big major publishing gig or, you know, whatever. But how do you feel about the mini comic scene?
I think like a year ago, I might have totally agreed with you, but I think like going to Cake in Chicago, mm-hmm. mini comics are still like totally alive and kicking for sure.
Yeah,
I love those little. I bought like all of those little mini comics that Chuck Forsman and Melissa Mendes and these guys have been publishing. They're just like little classic mini comic size, like black and white, pretty like simple and sparse. But I really love those. Those are really
cool. At Cake, it was pretty inspiring because there were a lot of mini comics.
Yeah, that Melissa girl's doing a anthology about Friday Night Lights, which just sounds amazing. Oh. I'm really into it.
Yeah,
anthology?
First in line for that.
Yeah, it's such a different thing because, you know, you were just talking about how Cake, you were like really into zine. I was just at the library thing, and everybody that I read there, all the young cartoonists that have like book deals with like First, Second, or Scholastics, they like do not even understand why we would even want to make a mini comic. They're just like, why don't you just put it on the internet? It's so much faster and so many more people read it. I just could not, like, and I was just so livid. I couldn't even control myself when I was trying to explain to somebody why you would, you know, make like silk screen and staple and all that stuff. It was just this new generation, Dan.
Were you
I don't
trembling?
Know. Yeah, I was like really trembling. I was talking about dinner and I couldn't even eat my dinner.
There's something to be said for that. I mean, some people make comics that I think are probably perfect for the internet. It was always my goal, I guess, or is my goal as I'm going to make a couple of more new mini comics, is that like, there should be a reason, you know, I don't know if it's the object or the experience that does kind of make this thing have to be a physical object or a book or something made of paper, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree.
And there's also a thing that I think about, this is like a totally half-baked, just kind of gut feeling on my part, and that's that like stuff just seems to have a shorter lifespan on the internet. Like something could get crazy popular and viral and get like a bazillion likes and retumbles, but then it like seems to disappear after a day, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like it's totally an ego thing on my part to like, well, if I'm gonna print up 50 of these books, at least I know that these 50 books are gonna, like, these 50 dumb little zines are gonna be sitting around the world's taking up space, you know, for people to stumble upon or something, you know.
But for you, is it making minis, is it the process for you, or is it just, I mean, because, like, when you make your minis, like, it seems, I mean, a lot goes into it. So I'm wondering, I think it's how that's...
I think it's just...
Go ahead.
I mean, to me, they're still fun to make. Mm-hmm. They're not fun if you have to make 1,000 of them. They're fun if you have to make, like, 100 or 200. But just, like, being able to finish a comic and get kind of, like, instant feedback, you know, because, like, come home from the copy shop, staple one, put the cover on one, like, give it to someone, and, like, you know, within minutes... Mm-hmm. You know, within a day of you finishing a comic, you can be like giving it out and people reading it. Whereas with a, you know, professionally published book, it's like 6 months minimum.
Well, you and Southern have the thing in common, whereas your books, your each one of your minis are like something really special. Something that, like, you know, like I have a lot of minis, but the ones that I cherish are things like the Ironclad. You know, it's like something really special that I can whip out and say, check this out, you know, because there's so much work that goes into it. And I think it's amazing. I mean, I think maybe some of our listeners haven't seen, because you don't do a regular series, so it's hard to be like, oh, did you pick up this? I don't even know if I have all of your minis, because I never know how many minis are out there, right?
I did do 1.5 issues of Redbird. That was my...
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so you did Redbird, you did Ironclad, what else? There's a bunch of other just little ones versus, that you printed out. Versus. There's a Versus Let's, one.
Did one called Collectin.
Uh-huh, oh, yeah, Collectin was awesome. Uh-huh.
I did that split book. I did one called Schematic Comics.
That
was on like a wood grain.
And then you just did one, you know, Telltale number one. And did you do number two yet?
No, I'm still waiting on my dad to give me the breakdowns on that.
All right, yeah. And that's a lovely little mini.
Yeah, can people get those it's minis like by sending you something?
Like beer or something? Yeah, I think any mini comics I have in print will be on the Catastrophe Shop.
Okay, so that's a great segue. Let's talk a little bit about the catastrophe.
Let's talk about the community, the awesome cartoonist in St. Louis that everyone idolizes and puts up in a pedestal like that.
Everyone's got the cartoonist of St. Louis swimsuit calendar.
Yeah, Tim has that in his room. But, you know, you guys, Ted May, Kevin Huizenga, Sasha won't say she's a part of USS Catastrophe because she just thinks it's a Sausage Talk guys group.
Sausage Talk?
Yeah, guys group.
And she's vegan, so she doesn't
And she's vegan, so she's... but tell us how that community, I mean, how is in St. Louis? And, you guys are kind of different personalities too, so I'm sure you compliment each other, but how is it hanging out with those guys?
It's great. I love those guys. I don't get to see Ted as much as I used to. He's still sort of busy with a full-time job and a wife and kid. Kevin I see pretty regularly, and there's kind of a loose-knit group of other sort of cartoonists and illustrators and drawers around town that we hang out with. It's not as solidified a unit as it once was, but I am working on, we are putting together a new Impossible anthology, which is
finally.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that.
Are you still running the shop, the USS Catastrophe?
No, it's all Kevin now.
Kevin took it.
A couple of years ago, it was mostly me when it was sort of a bigger concern, and that we were destroying people's books from all over. We kind of pared it back down just to a St. Louis guy, so
that's probably best.
Dan, you're a nice guy too, so I mean, you probably took every single thing that was submitted, right, Dan?
We were begging people to send us stuff because we just would take anything any person sent in, no matter how good or bad, and I don't know. I wish more people would have sent us comics to carry.
You know, when I was running, when we, me and Jesse, were doing Global Hobo, I remember thinking, how hard could it be? You get people's comics, you put it online, you send it to people, they pay you. How hard could it be? It was really, really hard. Yeah. It was so time consuming. I can't imagine that you did that by yourself with a shop that big for so long. I remember when you stopped doing it and when you sent out that letter and everyone cried. Got a little check for the two books that you sold, stuff like that. I thought it was so cute.
It would be a lot easier now because the post office and PayPal and stuff have really like upped their game in terms of logistics. Like I can mail off comics and prints and stuff from my, without ever leaving my house and without ever having to buy stamps or postage. So I imagine people, the new up and coming kids who are running distros have got it made now.
You should start it up again.
I might.
No, don't do it. No, stop.
Rena, do you have any comics that you might want to submit?
No. Okay.
Rena's gonna do it too. She started a book publishing company, you might as well just start a distro.
No, but we talked about this at Cake. Dan, we had the pleasure of hanging out with Dan, Kevin, and Dan's wife Leslie. For dinner or whatever, and
Dan, you got married then?
Oh, come on.
I got married?
Yeah.
I know, it's incredible, isn't it?
No, I don't remember you guys getting married though.
Last summer. Yeah. Next week will be our 1 year anniversary.
No. Aww, really?
So adorable. I love you, honey.
Oh, wow.
What are you gonna do?
I can't talk.
It's none of your business. What? Anyway, Dan and I are talking. Dan and I.
It's the paper anniversary, right? So I can just get her a comic book.
Yeah it's or paper. Or baseball tickets.
Ooh, those are made of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Love all right, it. All right. But Dan and I were saying that we were going, because you know I have that Dancing with the Stars comic.
Yeah.
So, the next YAM, big YAM project is a box set of reality show comics. Dope. So there'd be a reason why I'd do what a Dancing with the Stars.
I would do Storage Wars. Yup! That's the best show ever. Have you ever seen the show?
Dan, tell me.
Dan, I love every single reality show. Including
Dan, tell us what show you were going to do.
I'm a fan of like the classic, like the first, like kind of the first major wave of reality shows. I'm a big Survivor fan.
Still?
I'm a big Amazing Race fan, still. But my favorite that I love, and I think I'm the only person on earth somehow, but the show is still on, is Big Brother. I love Big Brother. Like, I look forward to when summer rolls around because in my mind, like, I associate summer with the new season of Big Brother.
I think there's another competing show that's kind of the same.
Oh, I watched it. It's terrible.
The Glass House?
Yeah. It's only two episodes in, but, like, I don't give up on any reality show, but I'm pretty close to giving up on that one. It's like, it's like a parody of Big Brother. It's, like, really horrible, you know, because now people, they're like Xeroxes of Xeroxes, you know, reality shows.
I remember, you know, I used to love reality shows, and then, like, you know, the classics, and I still do. But then towards the end, I was like, oh, man, these are getting so fake. I want to watch other reality shows. And then I got into, like, all the A&E reality shows, mm-hmm. you know, because these are more real. And then I realized they're totally fake, too.
Did you read that big expose on the House Hunters and House Hunters International?
No, I read an expose on Storage Wars, though, which wasn't very surprising, because if you watch Storage Wars, you're just like, things aren't worth this much. I wonder how many fools run out and try to buy storage units because they watch Storage Wars only to be, brought down to earth when each one of those units are just full of, like, underwear and blankets.
Yeah. So what do they do? They don't plant those, like, weird items.
That's the thing. What they're saying is that they plant, like, they have normal storages, but they, like, plant, like, you know, the big ticket items in there. That's why, like, you...
But is it like so then it turns into, like, a game show for those people?
No, those or people... are they in it? No, are those people just get paid. They just paid a lot of money, and then... Anyways, it's still awesome. I don't care.
Wow, an expose on a show like that. Amazing. Amazing.
Although, I think that box set would be pretty amazing.
I'm into the Real Housewives, like, all of them.
That's the worst.
Except DC.
DC,
Miami.
I won't even watch that.
Those are horrible. Yeah. I like the ones that still have at least some, like, they are pretending to be, have a competition element or a game show element or something.
Amazing Race is still amazing. I think Amazing Race is still the gold standard, right?
Project Runway is the best.
I think Amazing Race is still the gold standard. Is Dan still there?
I think it's the ninth inning.
Is it the ninth inning? Are you...
No, I think it's over. Actually, the TV's pointed the other way, so I can't even see it.
Oh.
We'll just assume that they won.
So let's talk about this book.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Tell us about Johnny Quarterly.
Before we talk. Dan.
Yes.
It just seems like you should have had a book a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
You know, what is. Are we about to get real?
Hold on. Are we about to get real?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It's about to get real.
It just seems like
you've been in it the game for a long time. You've gotten you were like the spotlights and everybody's like, Dan's got to have a book coming up. Was there a part of you that didn't want to do a big published book because you were still doing like all your zines and stuff? I always had this fantasy that you were getting all these book offers and you're like, no, I want to stay true. I want to do my own little zines. That's my fantasy in my head. But is that anywhere close to what was happening?
That's sort of true. Uh-huh. No, it was. It really probably was just a length thing, you know, like I couldn't really like make enough of a sustained effort on a longer thing that would be publishable in and of itself, you know? And I probably still wouldn't have if I hadn't to kind of stumbled on this sort of new way of working that kind of allowed me to work kind of faster and kind of get more momentum going and that I felt better about, which is kind of how I was able to push through and like make this book.
So what was that new way of working?
It's a if for anyone who hasn't seen the book, it's sort of drawn in sort of a new kind of a different style for me. It's all drawn with ballpoint pen and colored pencil.
Whoa!
On beige typing paper with whiteout.
That's and crazy.
Yeah, that looked pretty amazing.
All the pages are like straight raw scans. There's like just pretty much no computer fiddling. They're all drawn at kind of like 1-to-1 scale.
Wow.
So yeah, I was able to like really like crank out pages and like not fuss with them, and was able to like kind of make it part of the philosophy of the story, you know, that like.
So was it, did it feel like there was less pressure for you? Like you felt more confident in doing it that way than like, oh, bring out the big Bristol board.
Yeah. I had, you know, for a few years I've been like just drawing these little comics in my sketchbook. Like whenever we go on a trip or something, I would draw like a little like recap, like went to Vegas and this is all the like, you know, there's like dumb ballpoint pen drawings of David Copperfield and me and Leslie sitting in the crowd trying to catch magic frisbees. I always really loved the way that these pages looked, and my comics were just like feeling really like stiff and labored to me. And I was like, why can't I just draw like this for my comic? And I kind of started doing that, and I was into the way they were looking, and just and kept going. So that was the like the move, I guess.
Was it also hard to find or to come up with something like a story that was able to be that long?
No, I had actually had the story, and I was going to make kind of a big mini comic of this story.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, basically a story that I engineered based on like kind of stuff I wanted to draw and like little moments and little pieces that I could kind of weave together into this longer story. So it was helpful to think of the story, you know, not as like just a big solid thing, but more of a like, you know, 2-page chunks and 8-page chunks and 12-page chunks that kind of, you know, some, there's like kind of a few little diagram sections that are spread out. There's a few little, just like kind of gag joke sections.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds awesome because I love your sketchbooks. I mean, your little sketchbook drawings that you put up once in a while on like Facebook or something are always so amazing to me. So I'm excited to check this out. Yeah. When you approached John and Quarterly, were they just like, yeah, of course, we'll do anything you want? Or was it more, did they have reservations or anything about it?
I'm trying to remember how that worked. They, I think, they had expressed some interest at some point, you know, sometime in the 6 years since I did the showcase script, you know, that they would do a collection or a new story. And I was like, okay, sure, I'll keep that in mind. And then I think, once we started to get serious, and this is probably me trying to sabotage having to draw a big book, was I think I said, okay, I'll do a book if you let me do a fold out, you know, thinking that like, there's no way they would go for that. And I think they like were totally like, oh yeah, I think we can make that work. So then I was like, oh shoot.
So there is a fold out. There's a couple fold outs or just one?
There's a fold out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Now this book sounds amazing, especially after you told us that like it's a new approach and it's like sort of the way you wanted to do it that, you know, you felt comfortable doing it. And I'm really looking forward, especially the fold out.
What's it about?
It's a kind of a fiction. It's a pretty much a straight fiction story about. It's called Birdseye Bristow, which is the name of a town and also the name of the main character. It's not really a town. It's like this kind of stretch of interstate in the middle of nowhere. There's with a few little kind of roadside businesses like a truck wash and a tackle shop.
Mm-hmm.
This guy who lives out there, and it's just sort of an old kind of. Bachelor mechanic type guy, and he the story is set in the late 90s during the like cell phone tower boom when all these like guys who lived alongside the highway were leasing their land for giant cell phone towers to be built, And so it, the kind of story kind of exists over the course of this summer where this like world's tallest tower is being built. So there's a lot of like construction stuff and a lot of like kind of stuff about corporations and not, you know, in kind of a low level way. But there's also a lot of, you know, homespun folksy stuff in it too, I guess. Some eccentric characters around town.
Oh man, I'm excited about this book. When does it come out?
It's out, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Chicago was sort of official, the debut.
Oh, I thought someone was saying that Chicago was the debut, but it wasn't really out yet. It was just like
I've heard it's at some stores. It's at our local store.
Awesome.
I heard it was at the Beguiling. Did you guys already do Josh checking in on his new comics?
Yeah, but he said it wasn't out yet.
Oh.
So maybe,
probably not out here. Yeah.
So are you going to Comic-Con and stuff with this?
Not Comic-Con.
What?
Do people go to do you guys still go to Comic-Con?
Everyone goes to Comic-Con.
They do? Rena, are you going?
No, I don't. I never go to Comic-Con.
If Yam Books isn't representing you, I don't
know. Yes, I guess not. But Comic-Con's the best. You got to go to Comic-Con. John and Corley's going to be at Comic-Con. They're just going to sell your book without you being there?
I guess so. That's allowed.
Always. They have the biggest booth at Comic-Con.
I'll fax sketches in for people from St. Louis if they buy my book.
Oh, man. Now I have to, like, buy it and then go to St. Louis to hang out. And then
just hold on to it. Paula came out for Apes, so.
Oh, you're going to come out for Apes. That's cool.
Yeah, that'll be good. See, I knew that was going to happen. That's why I didn't get your book at Cake. That's because I knew you were going to come to Apes.
That's right.
The problem with buying comics like that at Joanne and Corley at Comic-Con is they never bring enough. They always, like, they'll be like, we'll have some on Saturday, and then it's always sold out.
They do sell out.
This is what's going to happen with Dan's book. I'm going to be bummed out.
I know.
I did sell out of my book in my local, the St. Louis book.
So. Does it feel neat to go to a bookstore and see your book, like, on the shelves? Or I'm sure St. Louis loves you, so I'm sure St. Louis has, like, a huge, like, like a video store standee with you on it, holding the books. You know, there's a big like square with the books on it.
Yeah.
So is it neat to see that?
It's like an Elvira cutout from a 7-Eleven.
They just put your head on it.
Instead of a case of Coors Light, I'm holding like a box of Drawn and Quarterly case with my books popping out of it. It feels good, I guess.
You didn't go and take pictures at the store and everything?
No, should I have?
Yeah, because I totally did it. does your wife think more of your endeavor now that she's seen the books like actually in the store, or was she always pretty?
Honey, how do you feel more about my endeavor now that my
books... my endeavor?
She just walked up, so it's the perfect timing.
Well, I think you're hotter now than you were.
How can you be hotter?
Hotter, like, is, like, popular, like, you know,
hotter.
No, I mean, now I understand all the late nights of not coming to bed until, like, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
There weren't a ton of those. I'm stuck to a schedule.
Yeah. No, I just think it's great. I'm really in awe of him. I think it's pretty amazing that he accomplished something that he wanted to do.
How does it feel being married to a famous cartoonist?
Very positive. Nope. Okay, she just kissed me and is leaving.
Oh, adorable.
That was her answer to that question.
That's awesome.
She's like, comics. Yeah.
So, Dan, you've listened to the show before, so you probably know what's coming.
I thought I had listened to every single episode, but now I'm bummed that I missed one. I wanted to be the most prepared guest in history to make
it. but I was walking down the street today, and I was thinking, you know, Tin's favorite question, the question of what the day in the life cartoons, I actually will be interested this time.
I love
you. Because I feel interested like in Dan, people's lives?
No, I am interested, but I know that's going to be like, well, you know, I feel like Dan's is like, I make a schematic, I made like a robot, you know.
But Dan
like,
is, nobody knows how he lives.
Slide, yeah.
Like, I have no idea how Dan has any time to do all the things he does or and, whether he doesn't do anything.
And can you incorporate, like, maybe Kevin Huizenga visiting you and going,
trash. I want to know exactly
paint these comics.
What happens in Dan's life, because it's all such a mystery to me. I remember, just really quick before I ask the question, I just want you to, to know, my favorite memory of Dan Zetwalk when he was living in the Bay Area was we would go to art night at Jason Shiga's house. You know, it was always a lot of fun. Dan, I always felt like Dan was the only other, like, bro-y dude there, because everybody else was just kind of like, nerdy, but they were just not very bro-y. And I took Dan home to San Francisco, and he at the time lived in the Sunset, in an apartment that was like underground, right?
Yeah, it was like the cheapest apartment I could find, but it was pretty nice.
He would be like, I'm like, where do you live? He's like, down there. And I was like, down there? I didn't even know people lived down there.
I really missed that apartment. That was a cool apartment.
Yeah. Oh, you know, can you settle something? You know Brian Koz, he was part, he hung out with you guys, for a while. You all from St. Louis, all worked to explain. He thinks that he is the master of Illustrator. Do you think you can beat him?
Oh, I could whoop him.
Illustrator? You ever think maybe one day you'll draw a comic in Illustrator because you're so good at it?
I've drawn comics in Illustrator.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
But published them?
Maybe not.
Not company Christmas cards. Like actual, you know?
No actual, nothing that I would consider part of my, Zetwalk, the Zetwalk canon.
You totally should, though.
Yeah,
totally should.
Yeah, no, I draw an Illustrator all the time. That's why I was excited to get away from the computer as much as I could for this book, to kind of like separate that from my workaday
world. Yeah, I remember you trying to explain to me Illustrator once, because I didn't know then, and I still don't know now how to do that. And the way you guys were talking about it, I was like, oh man.
A path tool.
Just like, no, you just do this. You just cut this out. You make this path tool, and then you click it all over to the, a mesh tool. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's it. You got it. You got to figure it out. Just sit down and do exactly what you just said. You'll have a mesh.
Okay. So what is a day in the life of Dan Zetwalk like, Dan? You wake up. What time is this?
I'm really excited about this question. This is also my favorite question that you had.
Thanks, Dan.
It's a little tough for me because, a day can really vary depending on if I'm, like, I'm not the kind of guy that will break up my day into different parts, but, like, this morning I'm working on an illustration job, and in the afternoon I'll draw comics. I'm more of a, like, I'm going to spend 2 weeks, like, working on this one intense vector rendering of a, factory floor, and then I can take a week off before working on comics.
Okay, well.
So I'll just talk about today.
Okay, let's talk about today. You wake up, what time did you wake up today, Dan?
I had to get up early this morning because today is my due date for this weekly newspaper comic.
Oh, the awesome one. We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, amazing.
I love that strip so much. I tell you, when I got the first mini, I actually thought that it was real. Like the facts and all that stuff, I actually thought for like the first two or three strips, I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And then the third strip, I was like, this is a lie. I felt so duped.
It's not a lie. It's just amazing and beyond.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I felt so duped. I felt hurt. But it's an amazing comic. Okay, so go ahead. You worked on this strip?
Yeah, the due date on those is like Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. And I'm like, I'm such a crazy procrastinator. I really I've started to push these strips. Like I didn't even start on it, like sketching or thinking about it until last night. It was during the Bachelorette, so it's probably like 9 o'clock. I was like, I guess I better, start working on this. And I used to like make sure that I had it done Monday night before I went to sleep. But it's like now it's gotten to the point. And then I used to be like, okay, well, as long as I get it lettered and inked, then I can like scan it in and do the tones and stuff in the morning. Now it's to the point where it's like, as long as I just get it lettered before I go to sleep. So that's all. Last night I got it penciled and lettered. Then I got up this morning at 5 and inked it and scanned it and all that stuff. And I think
today is Tuesday. Okay.
So yeah, I think I was like in with like 5 minutes to spare. Oh,
wow. You don't have any like you didn't do it. It's a newspaper strip. You don't have some like ahead time. You don't have some strips in advance.
I wish.
Your editor must love you guys.
Oh yeah, we're pal. Yeah, he's a pal of ours, and we, you know, I don't think we've ever missed one. So
okay, I don't know how long he's going to be your pal. Yeah.
So I did that, and so I wrapped that up, and then I had a little bit of sketching to do for kind of a illustration project. I work a lot for the, you know, the website Woot. You familiar with Woot?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen your stuff on Woot.
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff for Woot, so I'm working on like kind of a series of spot illustrations for their site for next week.
I've always wondered, do they pay you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because you do stuff that I'm just like, wow, that's fun stuff. I wonder if he gets paid.
Totally. Yeah.
That's great.
So they're one of my like kind of ongoing kind of straight illustration clients. Even though all the work I do for them is kind of in like a vector kind of style. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I worked on that for a couple of hours. Oh, I forgot the part where I walked my dog. I have to walk my dog every morning. His name is Morty.
Oh, you have to do it?
Yeah, because Leslie has to get up and go to work early too. So
Leslie has like a 9-to-5-er.
She has like a 7-to-3-er.
Oh.
But that's good because it's good for me to like, that kind of signals the start of my day because I get outside and get some fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And I like start the coffee brewing before I go on the walk. And then when I get home, I'm like invigorated.
Uh-huh.
Hot, sweaty, humid St. Louis morning, and I'm like ready for a steaming cup of coffee when I come back inside. So I did that, and then let's see. Today I am sort of involved in this like kids writing workshop. It's called mm-hmm. Studio STL, mm-hmm. and I've been going down and helping these kids like write these stories and do these drawings about the Mississippi River squid, which is like their summer project.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I go down and like do a bunch of squid cartoons. That's always fun.
I saw those pages, those little brainstorming things that you put on Facebook today.
Yeah, that was awesome. Every once in a while, I'll just like draw. I'll just like, what do you guys want me to draw real quick before we get started on this other stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I was doing doodles of the dog and his poop. And
you basically gotten down exactly what it's like to be an art teacher in like high school or junior high. You just really, the only thing you have to do to get their respect is to blow them away.
Yeah, yeah.
You go up there and you're like, you know, I can draw anything. Tell me one thing, I'll draw.
Yeah, totally. It's like,
and then they're just like, you're the best drawer in the world.
if you look at that picture on my Facebook, I did like a real like kind of gross drawing of Leslie getting mad at me.
And, oh,
like,
really?
Drawing it, this little girl, she's so cute, and she was like, as I was drawing Leslie, she was like, oh, she's so beautiful, and it's like the ugliest drawing, and I couldn't tell. This little girl was like being really sarcastic,
or maybe she was trying not to hurt her feelings.
Yeah, she's like a total sarcastic little girl.
Like, God, this guy is worst.
Didn't you draw also like a piece of poo going into the trash can or something?
Yeah, well, I was trying to like, I was leading them. I was telling them these are all the things I have to get out before I go on a dog walk. I was like, I got to get the leash, and then I got to get my iPod to listen to. And then I got to get this. And I was like, what am I forgetting? And they didn't know what. And I was like, I'm going on a dog walk. What am I forgetting? And then they still didn't know. So then I had to, I drew the poop. And they were like, you're forgetting the poop. And I was like, no, I got to get the stuff to take care of the poop. And they're like, what?
It's really bad like, Pictionary.
I draw the poop going into a bag.
That's like, hilarious.
And okay. So I did that. That was a couple of – that was nice because that got me out of the like – house. It's nice if there's something to like force me to like take a shower and you know, until like
that's get always out. Good to take showers.
So yeah, I won't reveal too much, but sometimes I'll like realize I haven't had a shower in a couple of days.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, that's revealing. For your own.
And then I came home and I think I worked on a print project actually for this like little print show I'm doing mm-hmm. in town,
which is like this was for yourself.
This is for this is like a group show. This is a fellow printmaker in town is putting on a show of like redesigned St. Louis flags. So it's like printing new St. Louis flags.
Uh-huh.
So I came home and like did some like ink tests, went down to the basement. I try to like, my studio gets really hot in the afternoon because it's all glass windows. So I try to like figure out what I can do in the basement in the afternoons.
Wow, so you have a studio just made fully out of glass?
Yeah, I guess for the people who lived in the house before me, they used it as like a green room or something.
A dream room?
It's like a green room.
That's what it does when I draw comics, Jen.
Yeah. you know, like Jim Lee has a house made of glass.
Who does? Jim Lee?
Jim Lee, yeah. This whole house is made out of glass.
See, that's not original at all.
I'm just saying. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. mixed up a bunch of inks, and I was like, can I get this hot pink more transparent? Can I get this gold to look better? And so I worked on that for a couple hours and listened to the radio and listened to my Tuesday podcasts. And I think it was about that time for Leslie to come home at like 4:30, and we were going to go and get the sushi happy hour, which is 6.
Does St. Louis have good sushi?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure, way better than the Bay Area.
I got to check out St. Louis.
I don't know how the sushi is, but I've got like a good pal who's Indian, and he swears that St. Louis has the best Indian food of any place, better than New York. Or...
Oh. Well, we got to check it out then.
St. Louis.
Yeah. St. Louis.
That's where we should have our new comic show.
St. Louis? St. Louis needs a comic show, Dan. Get
there
on it.
There was one. We did one awesome comic show.
I remember that. And a lot of people didn't get to come. No, that's the one where it was in the museum, right?
Yeah, it was at this like crazy museum we have here called the City Museum.
Gary Panther
the guests
was there?
Gary Panther and Charles Burns were like the two sort of main guests, but a bunch of other people came too. There were like lectures and a big show. That was fun.
How awesome would that be if it was every year, Dan? That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. Sometimes I think most shows should maybe take a year off in between. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I think.
I love SPX and Ape and stuff, but I always feel like I enjoy them more if I take a year off in between.
Well, they should rotate because, like if you think about a year of shows, there's a good 10, 15 shows that you can go to. It's a lot of shows.
Plus a lot of people don't produce a lot within a year. But if like 2 years, you know, most people could be guaranteed to at least have something new in 2 years.
Yeah, unless you're Rena.
Yeah.
Rena, can we talk about how awesome Lollygag is?
I know, because you're in it, too. Oh. Is that why?
besides me. But it's awesome. I was like, I really enjoyed reading through it. I had to say, like, it was really fun for me to go through it and try to, like, guess.
Easter egg foldouts. Oh, and the guess who's who.
Guess the artist was. I had, like, about a 75%.
Okay. Oh.
5% right
good
on the first.
Yeah, Lark did a really good job. That's all Lark.
Lark really
as much as I say I did all the work.
Lark really wanted the foldouts to kind of like an homage to Dan's at
Yeah.
That was awesome. Because
Dan is in a foldout.
Yeah,
so yeah.
You guys really have like, I'm taking this opportunity to formally retire from the world of foldouts.
Oh, foldouts are the best.
They've been done
pretty hard.
I remember the first time I saw a Dan Zetwalk fold out. It was in a mini, but it was like a fold out. It wasn't just like a fold out, but it was like a four way fold out.
Turn into a fortune.
It was like it was a whole. It turned into a whole like 8.5 by 11 piece of paper was folded in. You know, it blew my mind. I was like, how did he even think of this? This is amazing.
Yeah, they were actually 11 by 17 fold outs.
Oh yeah, but it was like it was crammed in. You know, it was folded 4 times.
Which one was that?
It was Ironclad.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Okay.
You know where that actually appeared first? This is going to be super for the super fans.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
That the first fold out was in Shiatkroc. You guys remember Shiatkroc?
Oh, remember that.
That sounds terrible, I'm glad I don't remember
APA,
it.
This was the anthology of the Comics Journal message board.
Really?
This is when the Comics Journal message board took it upon ourselves to produce and print.
No, I don't remember that. Was
anthology.
Yakov Chodosh part of it?
I think he might have been.
No, that's where I kind of like, I met Trevor through that.
Yeah.
Like, both had strips in there. That was like kind of how I first started to get to know you guys. Because I had lived in San Francisco for like a year before I, you know, like infiltrated the scene. And that Shiatkroc was like the first.
That's hilarious. Somebody told me that there are people still posting on the Comics Journal message
that
board.
What? Is that, it's still like, it's still online somewhere?
No, I think it's not. I think people are just posting like at their house.
Oh, yeah.
Yakov Chodosh is still bitterly arguing with Nyak Sun Tong. Is that his name, Nyak Sun Tong?
Close enough.
Close.
Okay. So you're working on this awesome print project. It seems like every time there's an art project in St. Louis, you are a part of it. It's as if St. Louis cannot have an art project without you in it, Dan.
That's maybe true, but it's also probably more true that you just don't hear about the ones that I'm not in.
Oh, maybe. I think that might be more of a. All right, and then Leslie came home. You guys had sushi, and now you're just talking
to us. Yeah, we got sushi. Walked around downtown for a bit. And then it was time for the Cardinals game to start, so I had to come home and get that on the radio.
Oh, not on TV?
I usually listen to it on the radio, but I put it on the TV tonight because I knew you guys would be calling and I could mute the TV.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for doing that for us. So what time is it right now in St. Louis?
9:30.
It's 9:30. So are you about to call it a night or do you got some more work to do?
Not sure yet.
Reality show programming?
No. I usually save that for during the day because I like DVR everything and then
Oh, nice.
You should know about me that I never like can sit and watch TV. I always have to be drawing or working while it's happening. If I ever have to, like, sit and just stare at a TV for an hour, I get so bored.
Yeah. It's weird that I can't do that anymore. I can't, like, do anything, like, on the computer or anything without drawing or doing something. It's a bad habit. Like, I don't think – sometimes I've seen shows that I saw when I was watching it, and I'm like, wait, did I see that part? Or was that part when I was, like, lettering something and I get to see it?
Yeah, no, someone should do a zine of all, like, what cartoonists, you know, listen to or watch or, like, what they occupy their brains with while they're working on.
Yeah, I know that, normally the things that like, if you watch the game and worked on comics, that's not a big surprise, you know?
Yeah.
But did you know, this is a Leon Beyond fact here.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that when Renee French draws, she watches NASCAR?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Formula One.
Oh, Formula One?
Yeah, you still
I'm sorry,
don't
I'm getting all mixed
that actually
up.
That actually seems perfect because it's sort of, you know, it seems like kind of ambient in a way, you know, like it's nonstop action, but it's not really nonstop action, you know.
Well, we're almost time for us to close out the show. Before we go, let you go, we want to ask you if you're reading anything or if you can recommend anything out there that people might not be reading. Or not might know about. So this is the chance. Go.
Oh, I've been reading a lot of stuff because I got brought back a pile of comics from Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Before that, of course, fellow St. Louisan Ted May's newest issue of Injury Comics is a total must.
Yes, of course.
Make sure to check that out.
Have we talked to him yet? We haven't talked to Ted May, huh? Mm-hmm. We should.
Try to get him on. Yeah. And try to get him on with Jeff Wilson, you know, who's the guy who sort of writes some of those stories. Uh-huh. Those are all St. Louis guys.
Yeah,
That guy seems like a hilarious guy to talk to.
He's one of my favorite guys. He probably will not be on. He's, you know, not really a super, like, loud or gregarious. But I really like, I mentioned those Chuck Forsman comics and Melissa Mindy's comics. Mm-hmm. Caught up on and got a bunch of from Cake were paper, you know, those paper cutter comics from Portland.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've been like was super behind on those, but those are really good.
Yeah,
like,
the Jason Martin one was amazing, right?
Every issue is like solid and good, and I need to remember to like pick those up regularly because those are really good. I really like the Minty Lewis, Damian J issue.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two of my favorite cartoonists. What else? There's some comics that I read online. I don't know if many people know about it, but Matt Thurber. Who I love has a kind of an ongoing webcomic called Infomaniacs. That's one of my favorite things.
I didn't know that.
It's on the Picture Box. It's like one of the Picture Box blogs.
Uh huh.
There's a guy named, I picked this guy's comics up from John P's Spit and a Half. I think his name is Nick Mandag, Mandaag. Mm-hmm. He made a comic called Streakers.
Whoa.
Have you heard about this? It's a comic. It's a, like a really funny, like in this sort of funny cartoon style, but it's like about these three guys that are like they're like the Society of Streakers and they take streaking very seriously.
Whoa.
Is them like planning, you know, like big streaks and discussing like kind of streaker philosophy and history. He has a new comic out called The Libertarian, which I think is brand new, which is really good. And it's like literally like a character who's just like it's like this libertarian guy who just walks around and talks about being a libertarian and sort of like gets in mildly funny adventures.
So that sounds,
these are some good reads. Mm-hmm.
And do you guys know Alex Schubert? You know his comics?
Mm-mm.
Kansas City.
Mm-mm.
He draws a comic called Blobby Boys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, with Coyote.
He's got a style that is sort of like a new, it's like a little bit in that DeForge kind of like area, but it's also like Ted May. It's like a sort of geometric, cartoony kind of scratchy style, but it's super hilarious.
I think Annie Kuyama was selling some of those.
He has his first mini comic, or the first mini comic business, all was called The Dudes. Just cool. A black, but if you can find that, it's awesome.
Wow, those are really good.
That's one of the best. Usually people are like, but I guess Dan was prepared.
Yeah, I was expecting. But I was expecting Dan to like Data Life, like building like a pyramid or something.
Your Data Life was a little disappointing, Dan.
You're disappointing?
Yeah. Well, you do live in you do have a glass studio, so that's pretty amazing. Cool. Mm-hmm. The Dreamatorium.
It should have been something super exciting today, just so I could have bragged about it.
Yeah, totally. You should have done what Kochaka does, and do something exciting so you can actually draw about it. I don't know why I had to throw that in there. Yeah. Well, Dan, it's been amazing talking to you. You are one of my favorite people in comics.
I think you're like one of the nicest guys in comics.
Yeah,
it's right? Like, guys. Like Ken, I have a quick question for you.
Uh huh.
This is something Ark and I was talking about, and I wanted to confirm this with you just to make sure this wasn't a figment of my imagination. When I was leaving San Francisco, I was having sort of a quasi going away party at Stork Club. Do you remember this?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you or did you not bring me a plate of scrambled eggs from Denny's as a going away? And you told me this is like the customary thing to do is to give someone eggs when they're leaving town.
I remember giving you scrambled eggs, but I don't remember saying the customary thing. I think I had just come back from Denny's. I was getting rid of it, but I was thinking, I was going to give Dan, something to go away. And I was like, I'll just get him some scrambled eggs. I have a thing like that where I, for birthdays and stuff, I would go into supermarkets and buy people steak, for their birthday. Or a piece of cheese or something like that. So I just was happy to be at Denny's, and I did do that. But I don't remember saying anything about being customary or anything like that.
I guess I had the basics right, but I also in my mind, I built up this whole mythology.
In your mind, you wanted it to be.
You were running around to any restaurant you could find because you had to get. This is important, spiritual act or something.
Yeah, I always think the food is the best gift, so I always give food.
Aww.
That was good.
Well, you're still one of my favorite people. I wish you were around and we could talk to you more often, but I'm excited to see your stuff. I'm excited
to see the book,
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. And when you're in town, I definitely want to hang out again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't wait.
And anytime, Rena said, anytime you want to co-host, she'll kick me off the show.
Yeah, just so we can co-host together. Or, Tim could kick me off the show and you guys could co-host.
That would be the broiest of a podcast ever. Mm-hmm. It'd be
Make sure you, interview a hot girl or something.
Yeah, well, thanks so much, Dan. And thanks, Dan. Thanks for talking to us, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Talk to you later. Buddy.
Bye, bud. Oh. Dan is
the nicest ever, bro. And now I'm really super excited because I saw the book but didn't know that the whole thing behind it. And now I'm super excited to get it.
Now I super miss him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll definitely check out this book. So I think when we're talking, maybe people didn't really hear what the book was. It's by John Quarterly. The book's called
Bird's Eye Bristow.
It's by Dan, and it should be out soon. Dan's at Walk. Uh-huh. It should be out pretty soon. And you guys should also try to check out his minis on USS Catastrophe.
Catastrophe.com.
And I could never say that word. Yeah. All his minis are amazing. Mm-hmm. I particularly love, Ironclad is the classic, of course, but I also love Redbird.
Collecting was also pretty awesome amazing. And prints, too. Yeah. I don't know where we can get those. But his prints are ridiculous.
His prints are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And if you become friends with him, you'll get a yearly Christmas card.
Oh, okay.
And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Those Christmas cards are these silk screen Christmas cards are just out of this world. But I love Dan, and I'm glad we got to talk to him.
I'm glad he's in comics. So.
I'm glad we're back.
Yeah,
you're so busy.
Never left. We never left.
Don't call it a comeback.
You keep saying this is not a new season.
Don't call it a comeback. Oh. That's gonna lead into the song that you're gonna put.
Oh, okay.
It's gonna be Don't Call It a Comeback, right? At the end.
Tom Jones.
LL Cool J.
I know.
Bye, bye, bros.